Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Fantastic.
Why are you fantastic, Aki?
Because I'm not stressed out from losing my Twitter. at this point now, I've finally reached that point of I don't give a fuck. And I'm good. Also, I've been playing really good game.
Which one?
Both of them, but mainly the
both of them. There's only two good games out there
that I've been playing. Yes, because I've literally only been playing two games. Unlike you, I only play my review games. Really, that's why I have obscene amounts of time in them all. Is because that's all I play when I get them.
I like how she said that she played a good game. I asked which one. She said both of them.
Yep,
implying that there's two instead of one. And then looking at her review sheet, she's got three games.
Well,
oh yeah, man, that adds some mystery.
Both of them. Both of them, not all of them, both of them.
Both of the three, but not one.
One of them is not.
Ooh. Exactly.
Jacob, why are you doing pretty good?
I got laid before the show.
Oh! So.
Should you be feeling amazing then?
Well, yeah, I feel pretty good. I mean, I took a shower afterwards. Oh,
did you wash your hand?
I washed both of them, thank you very much.
Glad I could.
You know, one for speed, one for power.
The lightning and the thunder.
A date with Pamela Anderson and her five daughters.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, kinky.
Making some beef stroganoff.
Oh.
Polishing the bishop.
Man. I'm drinking another limited soda. I was at Walmart and I saw they had marshmallows Coca-Cola. And it was in a white can. And I thought, wow, marshmallow-flavored Coca-Cola sounds amazing. Then I looked at the can, and it's not marshmallow flavored. It's from the artist Marshmallow, and his flavor is watermelon strawberry Coca-Cola.
Okay, that sounds fucking delicious.
It is so good. I'm so sad I only bought two cans.
See, where I live, we don't get any of that kind of crap. Like, the closest that I have is, like, we get cherry Coke, and that's it.
Even at Walmart?
Uh-huh. We don't get any of that kind of shit here. I think for a while we had that Blue Mountain Dew stuff, whatever the fuck that was.
Mm. Aki has a vague recollection of it.
Well, I don't drink Mountain Dew. My
blue
mom
is
does,
Voltage. So. Blue Raspberry. It's okay. I still think Supernova should have won, but whatever.
That's the only thing I know. That's the only thing that's special.
That's otherwise, a subject for another show where I bitch about Mountain Dew not putting out my favorite flavor.
I mean, that could be this one. I'm fine.
Listen here, Mountain Dew. Now, I can't shit talk him too much because I just won a Pepsi contest. Last night I got the email that I won their s'mores contest. You get three cans of soda. One is chocolate Coke, one is graham cracker Coke, and one is marshmallow Coke. And you can combine three cans to make a s'mores Coke. Or you can drink them individually.
Who the fuck wants to drink them individually at that point? Because, like, I don't want to drink a Coke that tastes like a graham cracker. That sounds fucking disgusting.
See, that's what I expected, and someone said it is so much better than anyone could have expected. So now I'm curious about it. I mean, they did have a gingerbread Mountain Dew that wasn't awful.
Was it good?
No.
Okay, there we go.
But it wasn't awful.
Oy vey.
So I'll try it. I figure I'll get the three cans. I'll get a glass. I'll pour a little bit of each in a glass. Try it as a whole, and then try them individually and finish them off.
I have to ask Root Beer's question. How are you not diabetic?
I don't know. Like, it's crazy.
Every time you're on here, all you're talking about is drinking a ton of really sugary caffeinated soda.
Yeah.
I'm amazed your organs haven't half shut the fuck down yet.
I'm amazed I'm still alive. Shit. I'm on borrowed time. Fuck it.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, buddy.
Jacob, because no one can stand him.
What the fuck?
I was hoping that'd get a reaction.
Just so caught off guard. What the fuck? Oh, man. Also, what the fuck? Google shut down Stadia.
Well, they haven't shut it down yet.
They're shutting down Stadia.
Yeah. January 23rd?
Yeah.
Of next year? And
my favorite January part of 18th. All of it. My favorite part about all of it is that, literally yesterday, Milestone Italy announced that they're bringing Hot Wheels Unleashed to Stadia.
Yeah.
Well, literally, they didn't bother telling any of their partners. None of the people at all knew about it. Like, there was still developers that are making games that are coming out for it later this year who weren't told about it.
Yeah.
And are freaking out because they're like, now we don't know if we're going to get paid for doing all this work to have a port for this, because that takes months, if not years, of extra work that now you're paying all your employees to do in an effort to sell stuff on a system that now they're going to be like, yeah, no,
your and game also has everyone's 2 months. Getting everything and refunded.
Yeah. Google said the company will refund all Stadia purchases made through the Google Store and all game and DLC purchases made through the Stadia Store.
Yeah. Google just has really, all the big name places in the past like week or two have really just shit the bed everywhere with how they're behaving. This is totally unacceptable behavior to be like, yeah, we're not telling any of the people working on Stadia, none of the people making games for the Stadia, we're not telling anyone. We're just going to surprise the entire world with this information because we have a ton of money and we don't have to give a fuck. That is so fucked up, and I hate it.
I hate it, but I could also kind of understand, because if they did just keep it internally, someone was going to leak it.
Well, yes, but you tell all of your partners and shit beforehand, and then, honestly...
Yeah, but those partners could leak something. So they may have done it to prevent any kind of leaks coming out, and they wanted to control the news and have it... issued how they wanted it issued instead of leaks.
But now they look like dickheads.
They look like dickheads from the beginning. So,
well, that's true. But like, I think what they should have done, because they've probably known it was going to die for a while. This isn't like a spur of the moment fucking thing. They should have had people be like, okay, we're not accepting any more games after this point. They have people who are making games that are going to come out in fucking November.
Yeah,
late November. That game should never have been suggested for Stadia. They should have looked at that and been like, no, we are not accepting any new games after this point. And that is well after that point.
It's possible that they didn't make that decision until just today or yesterday. Or
that would be hell if it was actually like this morning that he just like Google woke up and they're just like,
kill Stadia.
Yep. Bye.
I mean, I could see them do that. It's not like they haven't killed them. I could see them doing it, too,
and I think that's what happened. I think the corporate was just like, what if we just get rid of Stadia? And they're like, when? And it's like, January. All right, fuck it, do it. I wouldn't be surprised if that's how they decided on this, and they just announced it. And, like, their own developers, like, they were working on a new UI for the system, and not the system, but for the software, and... They didn't know. They didn't, like, they had no clue.
They just announced that just like 3 or 4 days ago, didn't they?
Something like that. So I'm pretty sure it was one of those just decided spur of the moment, and instead of saying like, oh, well, we're going to have X date to stop taking this and that, I think they should push it further. I think January is too close of a shutdown, But again, they're refunding everyone. So
I think they should keep it open and just not let anyone, don't add any more games to the system and leave it open for like another 6 months. That way, anyone who is already making games, there's no more new games being made at that
point.
But anyone who's making games can get some sales still and make some money, because, again, they put all this money into developing games, and now they're, no one's going to be buying these games at this point because it's about to close. So now all these indie devs and stuff are stuck with all this money they've just lost in an effort to make some money. And now they're just being told, eh, don't care. And that's really fucked up. So I think they should extend it by 6 months. Don't let any new games come out. That way these people can still get some sales and then refund everyone's money out of Stadia's or out of Google's pocket, because fuck you, Google. they're not even the only big name group that's fucked up recently.
Why? Who else is fucking up in your eyes? Because I know what you're talking about. Like, the rest of the news I have is like delays and shit, but like nothing horrible. So I'm not sure what you heard that I didn't.
Okay. Well, one of them isn't necessarily related to video games itself, but Twitch has decided to change how much money big streamers are getting. They've decided to cut it down and immediately released a how we're all family and stuff.
Fucking yeah!
And they want to make sure everyone's happy. So they've cut all the big streamers' pay by, I think it's like 25%.
Wow.
Because it was like a 70-30 or something like that. Now it's a 50-50.
Does it affect small streamers? Because we just got a sub from...
no, I don't believe it does.
No Time for Games with the 42-month sub. Holy hell.
Yeah, I think it just brought all the higher-end people, just cut all their pay to make it about the same as the lower-end people.
Eh, fuck them. Twitch doesn't need the money. The creators need the money more than Twitch does. So
yeah, and the bad thing is YouTube has been poaching people, streamers, off of YouTube, and I'm like, that's not going to fucking help you, Twitch. You're fucked. YouTube's going to take all your people now.
Good. Let competition happen. We almost had it with Beam and Mixer, and that failed, and then Facebook took off, and hopefully YouTube picks up steam and we get a competitor for Twitch, and Twitch feels like stepping up and being like, here's more. We'll give you more percentage of subs, or we'll give you a higher rate on bits, or I don't know. I don't know what they could do, but
yeah, the bad
the one thing I'm not doing is everyone's like, oh yeah, you should just run ads. I'm not going to run random ads on my stream.
Ads don't make you any money anyways.
Actually, based on what some people said, if you run enough of them, they do.
Well, then you have to run a fuck ton of them, and you have to have a really long fucking stream.
Someone said that they run 3 minutes of ads every 8 minutes of their stream, and they make like $20 a month.
Who the fuck watches their stream?
It doesn't. I don't know, but that doesn't seem worth. Maybe it was $20 a week, or it was something actually impressive compared to what we get. Because I get a payout like once every 6 months, if that. Like I clearly don't do this for money. I don't. Yeah.
If you're streaming realistically on Twitch, you're not making your money from ads, because you get
revenue from it.
No, if you're making money on Twitch, you're getting it from subs. That's what I'm doing it for. So, you know, if you're in here, you're not making money from ads. Are garbage. The money you make from ads is shit. You're making it from all your subs. You need to wear a
bikini. Hot tub stream.
I've been telling you to do that, Joe.
To shave my chest.
No, you don't.
You can shave funny things like a big smiley face or something to your chest. It'll be great.
You could shave like a Pac-Man on there, like, and see if we can get Namco to sponsor us.
Yeah, we can have your chest hair be sponsored.
Oh my lord.
They're like, Jesus Christ, we'll pay you to shave that off.
Put a shirt back on, please, for the love of God.
If we send you a shirt, will you please put it on?
And they
send
like a medium. Root beer, thank you for dropping the biddy in the cup. Thank you. We should probably get to more news.
Yeah, the last piece of news is game related. Microsoft made some fuck ups recently.
What did they do?
Overwatch, everything Overwatch. It's just this new Overwatch has just been a clusterfuck.
That has nothing to do with Microsoft yet.
It's not Microsoft.
Doesn't Microsoft own that?
No, not yet. The purchase didn't go through yet.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, this is still, that's still Activision doing Activision things.
They are fucking that game so hard, and I don't understand. They are ruining it. No fan wants this new game to even be made at this point. It's so bad.
it's gonna happen next week, so there, I think it's too late to stop the changeover.
Yeah, I think this has doomed that franchise at this point.
Oh, well.
I don't think the second game is going to function. At least we still have Overwatch. That's all I have to say about that.
No, you don't. It's shutting down.
Well, the game is, not the porn.
Oh, I thought you... I didn't hear that part.
As Aki closes the tab, it goes away.
But I didn't hear that part. You cut out briefly. All I heard was, at least we have Overwatch. I thought you said Overwatch 1.
Oh, God, no. I don't play that game. I think the game sucks. But
Overwatch porn. Got it.
Yes. Yeah. It's me. Of course it was.
Overwatch. Yeah. I think Microsoft had a little bit of a fuck up this week.
Oh?
Yeah, their Games with Gold announcement.
Fucking sucks.
It's so lackluster. Like, everyone thought with them dropping the 360 and original games that maybe they would beef up what we're getting.
No,
not at all. We're getting Windbound and Bomber Crew Deluxe Edition.
Okay, what about the other half of the month?
No, that's
we're getting Windbound and Bomber Crew Deluxe Edition.
Oh, wow.
It's only two games now.
Oh, that sucks. I was hoping they'd keep it four. I figured they'd just make it Xbox One, Xbox Series S and X games.
And hold on, it gets better.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about what PS Plus is getting.
Oh, yeah. On the flip side, PlayStation Plus is getting super hot, which is always
nice.
Super hot.
Hot.
Super hot.
Super.
Super.
I feel like that's been on the PlayStation thing before.
Who gives a shit?
I feel like it has to. It's been given away for free, I think, but.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, it's included.
I was going to say, it got given away for free on Xbox.
Oh, yeah. It's been given away for free everywhere. At least once.
I want to say it was.
And I will remind everyone, the folks at Superhot actually send the nicest rejection emails when you apply for a job.
Okay, then.
Anyway.
Yeah, I had applied for like some sort of like, I think it was like, I don't even remember what the fuck it was. I want to say it was like a social media thing. And yeah, it was just a very, very nicely written email. And I was just like, aw, guys, you actually used my name, first off.
That's great.
No, I've actually received rejection emails that were like, you know, hello, and then like in brackets, like first name. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, wow, that just adds that personal touch.
I'm not going to lie, I've accidentally done that when sending requests out.
That's why I will never use a form email. I handwrite every email that I send out. So if any developers
you handwrite every email that you send out?
Yes.
You send it by carrier pigeon?
Yes. I hand type, jackass.
I learned from that experience.
You hand type them?
Don't do that again.
No, I dick type them.
Is there another? I was about to say, is there another, like, you know.
You know how you were talking about how Games with Gold sucked and then you completely derailed the conversation? The other games that they're giving away in PlayStation Plus are Injustice 2. For PS4.
Okay.
Cool, just the base game, no DLC, so you're going to have to shell out for that. And then Hot Wheels Unleashed for PS4 and PS5.
Which is now also coming out with a complete edition.
Nice.
And there is a complete edition upgrade as well, if you want to buy that. Mm. So
I always like when they do the upgrades like that. Then you don't have to rebuy the base game. Well, I would like if more companies did shit like that.
It only comes with the DLC volumes. None of the stuff that came the with any of the racing passes, seasons. Yeah.
Which they're not included. That's something I hate about games like that. It's like
Because then it's
you miss out on that content and it's gone.
Yep.
You never have a shot at it. It's that fear of missing out, FOMO. But yeah, that's the month of games with gold compared to PlayStation Plus.
yeah, PlayStation has a way fucking better month than us.
It is abysmal on the Xbox side when you compare it to PlayStation. It is just
honestly, the games on the Xbox One aren't even that good. I reviewed Windbound for us, and I fucking hated that game.
Did you?
Yes.
Bomber Crew's really decent, but.
I was going to say, we had the folks from Bomber Crew on here.
Yeah. It's not my style of game, but it's fun for what it is. It's something I couldn't really get into myself, though. I'm not into, like, the Sims style. Like, I don't know. More news. Funcom has brought mods to Metal Hellsinger on the PC, allowing modders to listen to whatever the hell they want in the game.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, even somebody the free to- demo can be modded.
Nice. Shame somebody stuff needs like to
play
that
with Dixieland Jazz.
Shame like stuff like that can't work on like the X. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll get mod support on Xbox, but until then, grab it on PC and mod in the SML podcast while you're shooting monsters.
I mean, for some people, I'm sure our discussions about how many like controllers we can fit up Ryan Niemeyer's ass, you know, that's probably their own private hell. So it works out pretty well.
You had to shoot on the beat. I'm trying to give them a beat if they use this episode. Wild Hearts from EA and Koei Tecmo has been announced and is coming to Series X and S, PS5, and PC on February 17th. It has been in development for 4 years, and this is that monster hunting game that they were discussing last week.
Yeah,
that they were alluding to.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. Skull and Bones, delayed from November to March. Not shocked. At all.
Yeah, and not excited either.
Yeah, whatever. Scorn has been moved up from October 21st to the 14th.
Cool. So
it's coming a week early.
Maybe get that even earlier. Woohoo.
Yeah. October 27th, we are going to see a PC release of Sackboy, A Big Adventure from Sony.
I don't know that game.
It's adorable. Yeah, adorable platformer, Sackboy.
Cool.
Yeah,
I think
latest update to Steel Rising now allows you to access achievements while using assist mode.
I can't wait. That's going to be awesome.
I know that was one of your gripes with the game.
Yeah, I said they were working on a fix for it, too. So that, I'm glad it is. It doesn't. They said it was live on their Discord. I haven't had an update yet for it, and there's none scheduled yet. So I don't know if it's live everywhere quite yet. They said it was, but I mean, it should be in my stuff if it was. So
I know it shows it was updated for me today. So
they didn't I get an update? A bit.
I know.
Meh, that's irritating.
Yeah. Well, final bit of news that I have is the first two bands for Magfest have been announced, and they include the 8-Bit Big Band, which is pretty cool. They just won an, I think they won an Emmy, didn't they?
No.
Or a Grammy, Emmy. Or a Grammy, whatever. Yeah, they won some.
It would be a Grammy.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm dumb. And then they announced the 1-Ups. Yeah, the 1-Ups are going to be a Magfest.
Cool. They did your, they did your wedding or something, right?
Yes, they did. They played my wedding 15 years ago. Way back in the day. When I was a wee lad. So yeah, 1-Ups are going to be at MAGFest. I can't wait. They're going to be celebrating the 20th anniversary of MAGFest. And they might be showing up on the show next month sometime. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Talktober might get a musical.
Wait, what?
Talktober.
Well, yeah. No. A musical?
It might get musical.
Oh! I thought you were saying like there was going to be a musical, and I'm like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
You guys are going to have scripts in the mail. You're going to have to learn your lines, and there will be dance routines.
I'm fine with that. I was in theater.
Aki, any news on your end?
Not really, just the Stadia thing, and I have more about Overwatch 2, but that's it. So do you want to hear more about Overwatch 2 and how bad it is?
Not particularly.
Okay, then no, I don't got nothing.
Jacob, do you want to hear about Overwatch 2?
I mean, do we need to pad the episode?
Not really.
Then no.
I don't know.
Jacob, do you have any news?
I mean, going back to the Stadia thing, I found this out while looking up something. So yesterday, Outright Games announced Gigantosaurus Dino Kart Races coming out in 2023. And it was also announced for Stadia.
Nice.
Yesterday, so.
Not anymore.
Nice.
Or maybe for like.
I mean, if we're talking kart racers, the Switch just got a pretty big one announced with Smurfs Kart Racing.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
First.
I think it's coming from Microids, too.
Yeah, I think they're the ones with the license.
I have two cats bothering me right now. Like, Bean is rubbing up against the microphone stand and shaking her ass at my chair, like, pay attention to me. Coltrane is on my chair arm right now. Just, man. What? Leave me alone. Drink water.
And the other bit of news that I have is that Nintendo is currently having to deal with the National Labor Relations Board. A veteran video game tester alleges that Nintendo and the contracting firm Aston Carter fired them in February because this tester, during a meeting that Doug Bowser was present at, they asked what they think of, like, what's happening with, what do they think about, like, labor unions suddenly coming in with QA testers into the industry? And then about a month later, they got fired. So yeah, Nintendo says, Nintendo of America says that the person was fired because they were, they were disclosing confidential information. I couldn't remember the exact term that they used. Which, of course, the game tester is saying that that's bullshit. So now the NLRB is going to be investigating. Nintendo says that they're going to work with them, but we'll see.
Yeah, I believe the person, not the company. I don't believe Nintendo the fuck at all. I think they're full of shit.
Yeah,
Nintendo has in the past numerous times done union busting bullshit. They are very prominent for that.
Yeah, apparently back in mid-2014, Nintendo customer service contractors tried to unionize, and once management caught on, Nintendo squashed that pretty quickly.
Yep.
Root Beer saying PlayStation Stars has launched in Japan. I guess that's their reward program that they're doing.
Yes, yes it is. I know very little about
it. Additional markets are coming soon. I still have like zero interest in the Stars. You're getting like digital.
I just like the fact that it's named Stars.
Stars.
Exactly.
I'm waiting to see what you can use the points on before I judge on that. But
NFTs.
Well, they say they're not NFTs.
Well, they can call it whatever the fuck they want. A surprise mechanic is still a fucking loot box.
I don't think it's a surprise. I think you're picking what you buy.
I still think it's going to end up being mostly NFTs, just because I'm just pretty sure that's what it's going to end up being.
Well, we'll find out.
Sadly, we will.
Jacob, any other news, or are we going into reviews?
Fucking yeah! I believe we're going into reviews.
Cool, and also cool is that No Time just gifted a sub to Thimber.
Awesome.
So yeah, that is No Time's 13th gifted sub. That is way too, that's like 14 too many. Yeah. Reviews, first game to talk about tonight is Deathloop, developed by Arkane Studios, published by Bethesda Softworks, released September 21st on Xbox Series X and S for $59.99. In Deathloop, two rival assassins are trapped in a mysterious time loop on the island of Black Reef, doomed to repeat the same day for eternity. This cult, the only chance for escape is to end the cycle by assassinating 8 key targets before the day resets. Learn from each cycle, try new paths, gather intel, and find new weapons and abilities. Do whatever it takes to break the loop. Aki, what is going on in Deathloop?
all the amazing things are happening. Loop. You play obviously as Colt. At least for the more or less single player campaign, you can allow other people to jump in, and when they do, they play as Juliana, and Juliana's whole deal is to kill you. So, I mean, you can have other players play that, but occasionally, you know, if you set it to where it's all single player, to where it's not open to online, a PC or a NPC version of her will occasionally show up in levels. I don't know what causes her to spawn, but either way, she's a bitch to kill. But basically, you've woken up on a beach, and you're told, hey, you need to stop this loop. But you don't remember anything that's happened. So you're like, who the fuck are you? Why are you telling me what to do? So on and so forth. So the person you're talking to leaves you locked in a room. And it's like, well, I was going to be nice, but fuck you. So you can just sit here and die for all I care. And so you decide to jump out a window that goes like, I don't know, 80 feet to the rocks below. And then you wake up back on the beach. And yeah, you remember everything that was said. So you're like, okay, I need to break this loop because obviously this is looping. This isn't good. I'm tired of waking up with a hangover. so you go about having to figure out how to stop the loop, which obviously ends up being that you need to kill the quote unquote visionaries of the island because somehow they're connected to the loop. And the game is set up in various times of the day. So you have like the early morning, you have around noon, you have evening, and then you have nighttime. And then the game resets. And you get to choose which one of four different areas you go to during each time period. And every last one of them's different. Like, so if, let's say, there's some sort of area that's really rocky, and it's something rock, it's like frosted rocks or something. There's Uptown or Updam. There's the complex, which is a scientific area. And then there's Carl's Bay, I think is what it's called, are the four areas you can visit. And like if you visit Carl's Bay in the morning, it's different from if you visit it at noon or at the evening or at night, et cetera, et cetera. Not all of them are open at all times of the day, but most of them are open for almost all, if not all times of the day. And basically throughout this, you are looking, you're finding different things, different pieces of information to figure out how to kill each one of these visionaries. And when you do kill any of them, you get to take their power and make it part of your own, which is really cool. But you're just trying to figure out how you can kill all these different people who are on all these different areas throughout the day, how you can get them all to where you can kill them all in one single day before the loop ends and you have to try all over again. For this,
is it possible to do on your first loop?
No, not at all. Not even remotely. Because you need passwords and stuff for lots of different things. And the passwords are unique every single, every playthrough, I guess you'd call it. Not every, like, it's not like, oh, the day reset, so now I have a new password I have to figure out. It's your password for that entire game is different from, like, my password for that same thing throughout the day. But every time you re-loop, it's still that same password. But you have to figure out what these passwords are. And you have to figure out information of where the targets are going to be and stuff, figure out exactly what the passwords are, so on and so forth.
So, wait, so you're saying that, like, Joe's playthrough is going to be different than my playthrough?
The playthrough altogether is not. However, passwords and stuff that are inside it will be.
That way you can't just, like, use a walkthrough and get all the passwords.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the passwords that change, and all of them. I don't know how long I've put into this. I've probably put over 40 hours into this, probably over 60 at this point. And, I'm still not done with it. I'm close. I'm very close. But I've also been, that is what I said.
Not with you.
No, never with him.
I mean, I could have Jess on.
No.
Now, so
anyways, Yeah, so you're finding all these passwords, you're trying to figure out where everyone's going to be and how they interact with each other so you can get them to move to certain places during certain times so you can kill multiple of them in the same location in order to get all eight of them in one day, because otherwise you physically can't do it.
I love that I can like use the Xbox dashboard and look up how much time people have spent on their review games. And the fact that you spent 60 hours on
this. Oh, I was right. I did spend 60 hours on this. Nice.
2 days, 11 hours, 36 minutes.
Yeah. I played over 24 hours straight. God, so.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I was up. I think I played it from like 11 o'clock one night to 7 a.m. the day after.
Good God.
Straight without really stopping at all.
So you're not a fan, are you? You didn't really like
oh,
this
no,
one.
Oh, no, I totally hate this game.
No.
Yeah, no, this was... You could probably guess if this was one of the games that I thought was good. So, yeah. However, there is one caveat to this game. Every time you reset, so do all your armors, your weapon trinkets, and your character trinkets. However, you do get an ability very quickly into the game that allows you to absorb this energy called Residium. And you use that to infuse your weapons with it, so that once that's infused, you bring that weapon back with you. So you always have access to it. And at this point, I have like 20-ish weapons and probably over 60 fucking different weapon and character trinkets. All the weapon trinkets are, they're not like literal trinkets. They're little things that give you like, oh, you can reload faster. Oh, you have a better zoom when you zoom in. Oh, you're more accurate over distance. You reload faster. You have more ammo, et cetera, things like that. Your character ones are like, you get more hit points. You can hack machines from a further distance. You can double jump, which is the first one you have access to all the time. And it's amazing. I love it. And so on and so forth. You also have to use Residium on the abilities that you take from enemies, from the other visionaries. After the first time you take their power, you actually get that power, and then every subsequent time you kill them, up to four, you get an upgrade for that power so that you can equip to it. You can only equip two upgrades at a time, but they can drastically alter how that ability works. For instance, if anyone's played any of the Dishonored games, you have that blink ability. It's called Shift in this game. And you can get it. There's an upgrade that allows you to go a further distance. There's one that if you jump and use the ability, it pauses time for a short period of time, so you can figure out where exactly you want to jump. There's another one to where you, if you put it over an enemy, you switch places with that enemy, so on and so forth. So every ability has a whole bunch of upgrades that you can get for it. You can only equip two at a time. So it's really cool. When you play as Juliana, you're invading other people's games. You have to kill them three times to kill them, and then you win. Otherwise, you die once. An achievement.
A brand new car!
You get an achievement for getting... for killing Colt. But you actually have to kill him completely. Can't just kill him the one or two times. Because he has an ability, too, that's called Reprisal. And it basically allows him to die twice and go back in time a little bit to continue the fight. And the third time, he just dies. I've almost gotten the achievement for killing a Colt once, but I didn't realize it had to be three times, so I went back and I tried to get some health, and I was shot in the back of the head. Yeah, because Juliana does not have that ability. So, she does not get weapons like Colt does, because you don't play the main game with her. You only invade other people's games with her. Instead, you get weapons and trinkets and stuff as you get experience points. And you get experience points even if you don't get a kill. You get, like, just surviving in someone else's game for 3 minutes will get you, like, 25 XP. You'll get another, like, 25 for dying. And if you get the various ways you can kill Colt, you know, with each different gun, assassinating him, whatever, gives you more XP, and if you actually win by killing him three times, you get a bunch more XP, I assume, probably. I've never done it. I suck.
Well, it seems like even though you suck, it seems like you really enjoyed this one.
Oh, I'll be playing this game for a while, I think. I like this game. This is super fun.
Well, it's $60. What is your verdict, and what are your thoughts?
Oh, hell yes. I think everyone really is going to enjoy this game, especially if you like their prior games, like the Dishonored series. It's very good. Its story isn't quite as good because it's, you know, a bunch of different parts, but I think it's still good enough that it's worth playing.
Cool. All right, next
and
up.
Yes, Team Juliana. Fuck yeah. She's hot. She's so smoking hot.
Of course you had to get that out.
Of course I did. She's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, next game to talk about is DreamWorks Dragons Legends of the Nine Realms, developed by A Heartful of Games, published by Outright Games, released September 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $49.99. Unleash your inner dragon and fly beyond the hidden world on your fiery adventure to rescue Thunder's family and save the Dragon Kingdoms. Jacob, what is going on in DreamWorks Dragons Legends of the Nine Realms?
So I'm not sure if this is like based on like an upcoming series or something like that, or if it's just like a completely new adventure. But my kids enjoy the DreamWorks Dragon things, which originally started with How to Train Your Dragon trilogy and various cartoon shows. And then they dropped that title and now it's just DreamWorks Dragons. I guess they don't have to pay royalties or something like that. I don't understand how exactly it works.
Doesn't matter.
But essentially, at this point, it now just focuses on like a bunch of like little kids and like some teenagers who are raising all these dragons, despite the fact that How to Train Your Dragon 3, all the dragons go away. So I don't know how they're still around, but whatever. Anyway, so you start off with this one dragon whose name I already forget. And like you're put into this, like you have to escape this cave that you're in. And the game has all these different realms. Like there's the bio realm, there's the bioluminescent realm. There is like the frost realm. There's the fire realm. You know, it's pretty predictable about how all these realms work out. And there's levels for each, you know, there's multiple levels for each one. It's all platforming stuff. And as you move through it, like you have to fight other dragons to get out and move on to the next thing and eventually find other dragons that you can add to your team. And this is where the gameplay gets kind of neat, but it's also really frustrating because it actually takes you a very long time to get to that point where you have another dragon on your team. And in this game, you have to fight other dragons, as I said before, but there's no health pickups in this game. And the only way that you can get more health for your dragon is to swap out other dragons. And so while that dragon's not being used, they'll start healing up and stuff like that. But until you have that other dragon, you're just boned. Like that's all it is. And so like the third level in the first realm, like all of a sudden just becomes this unbeatable thing because the game expects you to be fighting multiple dragons at once, multiple times, and usually you can't escape these events. Like there's some sort of like barrier mist thing that surrounds you. And then you have to beat like five or six dragons, like usually not all at once. It's usually like two or three at a time. But yeah. And so like it gets really frustrating. And so you end up having to grind the first two levels over and over and over again, just so you can bump up your character's abilities to then like progress on through it. And this is a game that's aimed at kids 10 or older. And but the thing is like my kids already enjoy this property. So first off, this game is only single player. It's not like there's no co-op, which I'm just like, what? Like, I mean, it's frustrating because then it's just like the kids can't play this game together. And for me as a parent, have fun finding like a time where only one kid is going to be around to be able to play this by themselves and not have the other one be like, I want to play something like
that. I mean, single player games exist. You can't ding them for being a single player game.
But, No, but most of Outright's titles are co-op at the very least.
Okay, well, not
like,
all
and
of
this
them.
Is one of the few. This, huh?
Not all of them.
I know. That's why I said most. But anyway, but the thing is that, like, also I know that my kids would get insanely frustrated by the fact that they just have to keep grinding on these two levels over and over again. And it's not like your progression on that, like, on any level that your character gets defeated. It's not like you get to keep any of the gems that you pick up along the way to help upgrade your character. And so for the longest time, you're going to be stuck playing those two levels over and over again. But I mean, the platforming is solid. The camera is kind of distant. And so I don't know. I could see it being difficult, like, for kids to figure out where exactly the dragon is at all times, but the controls are simple enough. Like, you have one button that controls whether or not you're flying up in the air. And that can be helpful when doing combos against, like, the enemy dragons. And then you have, like, a fire shot or like a spit shot kind of thing, like a heavy attack and a light attack. And then you just keep mashing them until all the other dragons go away. And then you just have to do platforming areas. It's not a bad game. It's a frustrating game. And so I could see, like, you know, I mean, it is rated E10. And so I could see kids who are older being more okay with the grind fest that this game is. But if you've got kids, you know, who are my age, like 5 and 8, I could just see them being like, no, I don't like this game. And then just, like, not playing it ever. Which I was a little disappointed by. I like the game, but as I said, it's an absolute grind fest. Like, there needs to be, in my opinion, there needs to be, like, multiple difficulty levels for this. Like, one that older kids could appreciate, and, like, you know, as they're going through, they'll get more gems for playing it on a harder level. And meanwhile, like, little kids who just want to run around and just, you know, beat up other dragons, like, they can just move through and get the whole story, and, like, get to play with the other dragons. But in its current state, it's, I don't know, I was wishing for a better experience.
Well, it's $50. What's your verdict?
I would just go back to, like, what I had said. It depends on how old your kids are. If they're 10 or above, I'd recommend it. If they're not, I'd wait for a sale on it. Another thing that I will say about this, I do appreciate how this one is not as reading heavy as the previous Dragons game that came out, like, 2 or 3 years ago. Because when I bought that at the time, my oldest son, Sam, wasn't able to play it because, like, there was just so much damn text. And so it's like, unless I was sitting there with him telling him what everything is, like, he would just get lost. Meanwhile, this one, there's an on-screen narrator who's telling you, like, everything and instructing you what to do. Man. So as I said, if you got kids who are 10 and older, you know, I definitely recommend it, but younger kids who are going to get frustrated with a grind fest, no way.
Or older adults who are going to get frustrated with the grind.
Oh no, I'm playing this thing through the end. So I'm not one of those people, but.
Nope. From one kid friendly game to another, the next game to talk about is Weedcraft Inc. Developed and published by Kolbader. Released September 29th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $24.99. Weedcraft Inc. explores the business of producing, breeding, and selling weed in America, delving deep into the financial, political, and cultural aspects of the country's complex relationship with this troublesome and promising plant. Jacob, what is going on in Weedcraft?
So, unlike as the name might suggest, this is not like a stoner version of Minecraft. Instead, in this game, you play this one brother who you come home after you find out that your dad died. And your stoner brother has been growing stuff in the basement. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you've been doing this. And he's like, yeah, well, dad got addicted to opioids. And so this actually, like, you know, helped wean him off that and gave him some, you know, relief while he was, like, slowly dying, blah, 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 blah. But also, if you want to keep the family house, we're going to have to, like, keep selling weed. And so you, with half of an MBA, you know, are going to be the business sense, while your brother is going to be the one who's handling, you know, all the drug related stuff. And so with that, you have to be able to expand into the neighborhood, into different areas. Some of them are more dangerous than others, like because the cops don't patrol. And otherwise, you know, you have to, you can also influence like local governments into what they're going to do, and eventually influence like how other cities are handling it and beyond, like as in like, you know, passing major legislation to whether or not you make weed illegal, because, you know, there's plenty of money to be made in like the illegal business, whereas, you know, if it's more legal, you know, you can expand and grow into a much more, I guess you would say, safer, but it's not as economically viable. So yeah, and so with that, you're given different strains, which, you know, the first ones are given to you for free, and then you move up, and then you can like get other ones from as you meet other dealers and, you know, swap stuff. And then you have to be able to figure out, you know, how are you going to grow it? Like, you know, are you going to expand your grow room? Are you only going to grow certain types? Because also you've got different types of clientele, and different clientele only have X amount of money, and they're only going to be interested in certain kind of stuff. So if like you've got like poor quality weed, you know, the kids, like the trust fund college kids, they're not going to want that. They're going to want like the crazy ass strains that you're able to come up with, for example. And yeah, and so it's just like you have to navigate all this, and there is a a narrative throughout the game. Like there are three different scenarios, and there is like a chill mode, which, you know, you're just doing your thing and you don't have to worry about like the actual like issues in the game. But with that, honestly, I felt like this game, I don't know if it was on Steam or something like that first, but I
pretty
really
sure it
just
was.
Couldn't. Yeah, I mean, I figure it would be, but the thing is that, like, honestly, like the user interface, I just could not get used to it, and I found it honestly very hard to navigate at times. And the game was very, like, it's very helpful at the very beginning, and it's like, all right, you're going to use this menu to do this, but then as the game progresses, the menus get more complex. And it's just like, you know, you're trying to figure out how to do certain stuff, and then when you go to consult the manual is just like, all right, well, this is how you do this, and then it but it doesn't explain like the next step. So on console, it's not nearly as intuitive. It's a fun game, but honestly, I feel like this is a better fit on PC than it is console. Like, I'm glad that it's come to console, and I'm feeling like this is one of those games, kind of like Arcade Paradise, where it's like you just got to put in the time, kind of like a business. you have to put in the time, and you are going to get a richer experience, but you really just have to navigate like the ins and outs of everything. And unfortunately for this game, like the UI is not the best, and so it's going to take you some time in an unintended way. So yeah.
Well, it's $25. What do you think of it?
I'd be more okay if it was 20. But for 25, it's
could use that extra
bad.
$5 on weed
or on munchies.
Yeah.
but honestly, $25 I'm okay with. I feel like this is more of a, here's the thing. It's not a bad game, but I feel like it's not going to be for everybody. And so I'd really recommend trying it first, if you can, but at $25, it's still not a bad game. And so I'd still recommend it. But as I said, you might want to try it if you can.
So it's a try it.
Yeah. It's just, I'm not comfortable with saying like, it's a try it. Like,
why?
Whatever. Well, because it's like, as I said, I'm comfortable with that price, and I don't think it's a bad game, but I don't think it's for everybody. So
so it's a try it.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't.
You dickhead.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, cause sometimes I feel bad about giving the try it thing, because it's just like, no, it's not a bad game. It's just not going to be for everybody. Like, I don't know. I always feel like try it feels like kind of like a middling kind of thing. And I don't want it to be. You feel me?
Unfortunately, I feel you a lot. Next game to talk about is Ruya, developed and published by Miracle T, released September 20th on Xbox One for $11.99, a game of tranquility through the art of matching pieces of Ruya in her world of dreams. Visit surrealist landscapes, decorate yourself in flowers, and introspect. A calming, minimal experience with juicy interactions and cool color combinations to make you feel at ease. Jacob, what is Ruya?
So with this one, you are playing this mother who has, I think it's four daughters total, I think. But most of the time, you're only, seeing three of them at a time. And so with this, it is a color matching game, and there are multiple dots on this board, and the game is going to tell you, this is the shape that we want stuff connected to. So it could be anywhere from, it could be a bunch of them, minimum of two. I have yet to see more than five at a time, or actually I think it's four. I don't think I've seen five yet, but anyway, and they can be at different shapes. Usually the game's just going to start off with everything just being in a straight line, but it might throw an L shape at you. And the game boards are set up in different shapes, and the gems themselves or stones that you have to match. Some of them, you'll notice, they'll have a circle around them. And that means that you have to hit them, you have to connect them multiple times to stuff for them to actually go away. So one gem might just go away the first time you connect it. The other one, it'll take two connections for it to go away. And so with this, you have to be able to navigate this, and the game is fairly chill. There's no timer on it. And if you fuck up, the game will give you a negative minus one moves and then reset the board. And I'm 99% sure that it just reshuffles all the gems that are on the board. I've never actually really paid attention to see whether or not it's exactly the amount that I had before of each different kind. Proud but what it you. Does is that it.
Proud of you.
Whatever. Anyway, so it reshuffles them, and so it makes it easier for you to win. Whether or not that has an effect on any, what hidden flowers you find, that part, again, I'm not totally sure, because I'm not sure exactly how flower... I mean, I know how flowers get found, because some of the gems will have a flower thing on it, and then once you match the piece, the flower will go up into the mother's, antlers that she has. And then, after you've beaten the puzzle, you'll see, a little flower thing on there. So I don't know if you have to find, you're trying to find, one of each, or if it's just, all right, yeah, you got that one flower. I don't, the game doesn't really take time to explain itself beyond the tutorial level. It's not, it is chill, but the thing is that I found it to be very, I don't know. It's a game that I would only do two or three puzzles at a time and then go off to find something else. It just felt it felt very much of same old, same old. Kind of in the way that playing Microsoft Sudoku or Wordament or something like that. You're playing the same puzzle, more or less the same puzzles over and over again. And so it's easy to pick up and put down. And then, come back, the next day, and it's not you're going to forget how exactly this game works. It's very simple. But, I don't know. This isn't a game that I could play for hours on end. I mean, that's not to say it's not a bad game, but for a puzzle game, it didn't grab me. It's not bad, it's just, I don't know if it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
There are plenty. I mean, the nice thing is, though, there are a ton of levels for this game. I don't know how long it's going to take you, but, there's plenty to do in here. And, of course, you can replay levels as many times as you want. So, if you like puzzle games, definitely check it out. But it's not the most exciting one. But then again, it's not also meant to be the most exciting one either.
Yeah.
It's a decent indie title.
$12, your verdict?
$12 if you're a fan of match 3-esque puzzle games, then definitely yeah. But if your idea of a good Friday night is like Madden or Halo, this is not going to be your game.
All right. Next game is One Hell of a Ride, developed by Petrity Games, published by Chili Dog Interactive, released September 28th on Xbox One for $6.99. Action-packed arcade and explosive racing game. This is the best description for One Hell of a Ride. One Hell of a Ride will give you the same old feeling like other arcade racing games from the past used to. We should have called it heavy metal racing, frankly speaking. Jacob, what is One Hell of a Ride?
So, One Hell of a Ride wants to remind you of like the retro racing games, that not necessarily like arena stuff like Twisted Metal, but you know, more of like along like the lines of Carmageddon. And you have like, you start off with this car which eventually gets stolen from you, and so you have to like restart and like rebuild your garage. And you have the ability to buy multiple cars, but of course they cost money, and so to get money, you have to compete in races. And by competing in races, you're eventually going to have to start upgrading your car. And to upgrade it, of course, you have to replay races over and over and over again. And so there's multiple stuff that you can update, like the weapons, the tires, the shocks, because there are jumps that your car has to do. And of course, it's going to put wear and tear on your car. And there's also crap littered all over the tracks, mostly explosive barrels. And if your car explodes, then, you know, your opponent gets like a 5 second, you know, head start before you're back in the race, which that in itself could be pretty frustrating because you only have a limited amount of weapons. But of course, once you upgrade them, you know, you'll like they'll last longer. Your boost will last longer, all that kind of stuff. But as you go through each lap, your weapons meter will refill. Anything on your boost meter that's not already filled, that refills over time. And it's just, you keep doing it over and over again. It's not a badly built racer. And for those looking for a retro feel, like, it definitely has it. But the game is also a bit of a grind fest, in my opinion on that. And it just feels like, it feels like the upgrades that you're buying only do very incremental, like, they don't help you that much. And so it's just like, you really have to keep playing stuff over and over again, and earning more money just so then you can make it actually feel like your car is actually going to do anything on these races. As I said, it's not bad. It's just, I wish that there was more to it. And I wish that, you know, as I said, like, it wasn't such a grind fest on it. So
yeah, this one actually has my attention. I think I like the look of it.
I'd recommend it. I mean, for, I think it's like what, $8, you said?
Yeah, it's $6.99.
yeah, $6.99. honestly, I mean, at worst it's a fuck it, buy it. But honestly, I had fun with it. It's just, as I said, like, you're gonna do a bit of grinding just to get your car up to snuff. But it's still fun. Like, it's a competent racer, and hopefully, like, we get to see more of this kind of stuff, whether it's in the form of DLC. I mean, I'd even be down for a sequel eventually.
Cool. So. All right. Well, that is it for you for tonight.
Yeah.
Yay.
Goodbye.
She's ready to just get you the hell out of here.
That's fair. I'm ready to get the hell out of here, too.
Carnage says so. It's apparently a 5-minute 1K as well, with the world-famous Chili Dog cheat code.
Oh, well.
What the fuck's the Chili Dog cheat code?
The Chili Dog Interactive has a cheat code that they put in, like, all their games.
Oh, nice. That
helps you
well,
out.
Well, I have not used the Chili Dog cheat code, so. No.
Mr.
So Fancy, if you don't use here. It, then you're going to be playing this for a while.
So, cool. Well, any final words before we move on?
Nah.
Cool. Next game to talk about is Amazing Chicken Adventures, developed and published by Peter Rocala. Released September 16th on Xbox One for $24.49, Steam for $19.99. Start an adventure where gravity is your worst enemy and save the world one egg at a time, featuring classical music, broken eggs, chicken inappropriate tools, and mandatory funny hats. Aki, what is going on in Amazing Chicken Adventures?
Okay, in this game you play as a chicken, and that's really the content of the game.
All right. $25. What's your
no? you go to different levels, and how do you even you're trying to get 3 eggs out of each level without breaking them open or losing them off the side of the map into the endless fucking void. Each map is a square, and sometimes when you get to near the edge of one of the sides, another square will pop up, and you find the pathway to this net that has helicopter blades at the bottom of it, and you're trying to get the eggs into that without, you know, letting them drop too far that they break, or pushing them into water where they fall through the map, or breaking them with tools that you get, so on and so forth. And you also have to use the tools to, you know, get things out of your path so you can get them there. You also have to usually put in a tool. If you have a brand new tool in the level, you need to drop it in the bag as well as any new hat that you find for your chicken to wear, because your chicken has to wear certain hats to use certain items. For instance, there's a Thor's hammer that you can pick up in the game, but you have to be wearing a stereotypical, not realistic Viking hat, you know, the two-horned hat. You have to wear that in order to pick it up, otherwise you can't pick up the hammer. And sometimes you have to pick up fruits that you turn into batteries somehow. I don't know. Okay. And you're doing all of this because, I don't know. there is not a story to this game. You're just beating individual levels that get progressively and progressively harder. And by that, I mean they piss you off more and more and more. This is all physics based, so the egg being oblong, it doesn't go exactly where you push it towards, because it, you know, it wants to move around. It can teeter on either edge and then start turning one way or another, and depending on how hard you walk into it, causes it to move further or not. And it can bounce off of things, including walls, which means you can try to be pushing it down this narrow area, and it might tap the wall just enough that it goes careening off the map, and then you have to replay the entire fucking level all over again. Because you have to get through the map having all 3 eggs in the basket by the end. Because you can't get like, okay, I got this first egg in, and I broke the second egg, but I got the third egg in, and replay the level, and then just get the second egg in, because it only counts it as being 1 egg. So you need to actually get all 3 eggs at once, which is difficult, especially in later levels. It does have a co-op to it. It's local co-op only, and it's not split screen or anything, so whenever one character goes off screen, the other character is dragged to them, basically. I don't know if it goes both directions, or if player two just gets pulled to player one constantly. I'm not really sure, because I don't have real life friends to play this kind of shit with.
Me neither.
The game's very confusing, because it's hard to find where the levels are, and then some levels require certain items. You have to have certain items to open, and it doesn't tell you how to get the fucking items. So I've played through a chunk of 2 different areas, and then I got stuck because I don't know what the fuck to do. I got stuck in the first one because I couldn't figure out where to go, and then I figured it out. And then I got stuck in the very next area, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I've played maybe 10, 16 levels of this.
Jeez.
And I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So I need to wait for a fucking walkthrough to figure out what the fuck I'm supposed to do with this game, because it's fucking gibberish.
And yeah, I was watching them play on the ID at Xbox stream, and it looked really, really cute, but I didn't know what the hell is going on.
Nor does anyone else, so that's fine. It is rather cute, but there is so much visually on screen that it becomes a very distracting mess, especially in the hub world, where you go into all the levels. After the very first area, you're like in a little jungle area, and there's just so much there that it's kind of hard to find where the levels are, just because there's so much crap all around you that they end up blending in. It took me a while to find a number of levels in that. And there is a different area later on. It becomes like a canyon area. And then I think it goes to a snowy area because I've played some of the jungle and the canyon place. Can't get into the snow place because I don't have enough. Technically, I probably shouldn't have been able to get into the fucking canyon place because you have to get a certain amount of eggs in order to unlock this thing, which is supposed to, I assume, unlock the ability to play the last level in every area so you can move on to the next one or something. I don't know. I don't understand how this game works. It makes no fucking sense. And it's making me angry now.
Oh, man. Well, it's $25. What are your thoughts on it?
This is a very hard one to suggest because this does make you angry fairly quickly into the game because the physics games are not for everybody. A lot of them are like this one, very irritating because the physics get in the fucking way of everything known to fucking man. So if you like physics games, then this is probably for you. If you don't because they're rage-inducing bullshit, then you're like me, and this probably is not a game for you. You probably don't want to play this. It's probably just going to make you angry. You'll like maybe the first few levels, and then it's just going to get hard, and you're going to be like, this is just pissing me off. Because I had the egg was there, and then it went flying off to the fucking side. Fuck you, game. You'll feel that a lot, and that's not, you know, fun to feel. So if you like physics games, yes, buy it. Everyone else, I can't even suggest this as a try it. It's just going to piss you off, so it's a deny it for everybody else.
All right, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is Validate Struggling Singles in Your Area, developed and published by Veritable Joy Studios. Released September 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Steam for $14.99. Set in the Jersey City area, our cast of lovers trudge through the dredges of capitalism, a journey, a transition, a rite of passage that leads into uncertain mid-adulthood. On one side, but not yet out of the other, 13 playable characters find romance against cosplay, trash mixtape, and even poetry straight from the soul. Aki, what is Validate?
I didn't realize there was 13 playable characters. Okay, I have a lot to do in this game still. Holy shit. All right. At the beginning, you get to choose between two different characters, a guy named Malik and a woman named Inyana? I don't know how to pronounce her name. And basically, you get a little intro for each one of them, whichever one you pick. You get a little intro for them. And then it's on to basically going on dates with individuals. And there ends up being two options. Either it goes well or it goes bad. And if it goes bad, you can immediately redo the whole date again. Because once you get the bad ending, which is an achievement, you can just click the... because it's all done via the phone, you just click the heart button and you go on a date with them again, and then you can make the other choices to be the good ending, and that unlocks the next individual that you can go out. There are other choices in each one of these dates, but most of them don't really matter. There's usually only a couple that matter, realistically speaking, but they do change some of the interactions you get. But overall, the story is the same until you get either the questions that go for the good or bad end. There is a nice thing for all of you, you know, achievement hunters out there. There's a bunch of, when you go into a date, you can pause the button and there's a skip to bad ending and skip to good ending. And you can click that and it'll just skip everything and go straight to the ending and you still get the achievement.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been doing that for all the bad endings and working towards the good endings because I don't want to go to the bad endings. And I assume this was made specifically for people like me who, like, we want to play through it once. We don't want to play through the entire conversation two times and then just choose the area where we know where the ending actually, where the choices actually matter for the ending. We don't want to play through the whole thing for that again, so we just skip that. But for people like Carnage, because I know Carnage does shit like this, you can just click skip to the bad ending and then go right back into the date, skip good ending, and then go to the next date and never play the game. Because that's how Scotty does all of these types of games. And so do a number of people who I do not respect for that.
He says, the game. Damn right I will.
Yeah, fucking.
Hey, it's in the game. You can't fault them for it.
I can. Yes, I can. I can still fault them for it. It's a visual novel. None of these fuckers read any of them. Each playthrough for, not like each playthrough of each date, but like the entire playthrough for all the endings for one character, like Enya, I mean, to go on her, all her dates is probably like maybe 3-4 hours maybe for her and Malik. And whilst you're going through the dates, you actually unlock other people you can play as. I've only unlocked one other character so far, which is Aerie or something like that. But basically every character in this has their own hangups and stuff. This isn't like a, oh, I'm going on this date, they are like the best person ever, they're perfect, do I actually get a relationship with them or do I fuck up? No, it's not like that. Like, one of the dates you go on, you end up like the two of you hook up, it's all great and everything. And then at the end, you're like, so you wait, you give them your number and you wait a week, and then you go back out to the club where you met them in the first place with your friend, and there they are, and you're like, why didn't you text me back or anything? They're like, oh yeah, no, I have a lot of shit going on and I wasn't really ready for something long term. And that's still going towards the good end. Like, that's not a bad end. It's because they, you know, they have, like, their divorced wife is with someone, and their kids love that person more than them, and all this other stuff. But you two are still able to become friends. You may not become, you know, in a relationship romantically, but you stay friends. And that's how a number of these things end up going, is you end up making friends instead of lovers. Because, you know, no one's perfect. You're like, oh, I like this person mentally, but I'm not really into them physically. So that, and that's from your own character saying that about this other person. So you end up moving towards that, and like, none of these people are perfect. Like, that one is really good at ghosting people, obviously. They're a wham bam, thank you ma'am, and then they disappear on you. Another one's like, I just go with whatever other people doing. I'm not really into you, but you started making out with me, so I just went with the flow. And it's like, there's a lot of, like, everyone has their own issues, you know? Everyone reacts differently, and this is very much realistic in that sense. So I've thoroughly enjoyed this game, you know, and on top of that, it's not just like, oh, I'm playing as Enya, so I'm dating all the men. No. Enya is a she, they. She's non-binary. She's a 6-foot-tall Pakistani woman, and she's like, I'm too masculine, no one finds me attractive, and I have a huge zit on my nose, so people think I'm uglier than hell. I don't pruck my eyebrows, and they're huge, etc., etc. She's like, she does not think highly of herself. And everyone else is just as fucked up as she is, just in different fucking ways. And I love that. It's so real and visceral and great. And I think, for me, this is one of the best dating sims I've ever played. Even as much as I liked the Kaichu, this is better already. Just because of how realistic this is to the actual dating pool, realistically. You know, these people, you know, they're trying to put off their good selves. You know, not all of them you meet in order specifically to go on a date with them, so they're all, you know, trying to be friendly and nice, but not necessarily always putting out there that, yeah, this is a date or anything. Like, one of the people you meet for a work thing, and, you know, if you might end up banging them, I mean, it's... shit happens, and you're like, oh yeah, even the good endings, like, and you immediately regret this. Like, yeah, kinda. That's basically it. They're all, you know, not particularly long, and they're good little stories.
All right, well, it's $15. What do you say?
I'm totally for this, and even more so if you're like a teenager and you don't necessarily like your body, or, you know, you're LGBT and you're not in a, you know, good area, we'll call it. This is really good. It has some, you know, acceptance concepts and so on and so forth. And it tells people that, you know, not everything's going to work out, but that doesn't make it bad. And so I really respect this game, and I think this should be up everyone's alley, unless you're a racist prick, in which case then maybe a shotgun is more up your alley.
All right, well, that is it for tonight. I don't know what I'm gonna play for music. I gotta wrap this up. The show's gotta end. Pickle might be in trouble, so we...
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, do you have any final words to wrap this up?
Don't fuck boys.
Okay.